This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, July 14th, and it's a little after 11 a.m. in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Neary, and I shall be your host for today. As it is, today is Open Line Thursday. That means you can call in. That means you can call in and with your own topics, and I will analyze it and give my opinions on it. But as usual, I have one or two things I would like to talk about, things I found interesting that say, I wonder if other behemoths realize this. You know, but I want to talk some good things. But I want to talk about things that is important to the human psyche and how we analyze things. Things that normally slips past the cracks, right? So these are the things I found interesting. Things I found interesting that happened last week to this week. This bothered me. I thought this should have been nibbed or snipped in the bud by the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party. Again, yet again, we see the Minister of National Security, again, the issue with the police, and I'm not sure even what the issue is, because I'm going to explain all of that, my frustration with this, right? It was alleged, right, that the Minister of National Security had her car touched a police officer. I'm not sure if that happened or not, but she's a minister, she's an honorable person. All ministers of government, members of parliament are honorable people. And if I have to decide on who to believe, whether it's the police or whether it's the minister, surely I'm going to go with anyone in the Honorable House of Assembly. So that ends that. I, C.A. Neary, believe the minister. But I believe that because there is a negative narrative, right, the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party should have reached out to those involved and nipped this in the bud. Again, no other than 1-2 days ago, we see a witness come out of the blue and said, hey, man, I see that accident. I see when the minister touch him. One of them. I don't even know, because we still know what happened, right? And you see, I'm using all these mix-up words, right? And there's a reason for that. The reason for that, because the former COP, the former cop, the former commissioner said, man, I ain't start no investigation yet. Man, he says, under investigation. But he said, but I ain't start no investigation yet. There has not been no official complaint. Right? And he said, but I see, because he's going on social media too, you know, he's surfing that, right? I see the minister making some statements, which I ain't talked to her. So it's under the investigation, but I ain't talked to her. Therefore, there's nothing yet until someone make an inquiry or until she come in. And she even see that she's complaining and want press charges, but since they ain't come in. And I said, what? Then we have a new commissioner of police, right? After finding out that this police officer took sick leave because something happened. Right? No one from the executive office of the police hierarchy called and said, hey, you okay? What happened? I said, boy, imagine if there was a real injury. I mean, look how you're diminishing my injury. Imagine if it was a real injury. That means I can't expect any of the commissioners to go check on the bay or any police officer, because look to me, they ain't important. Then we see the Minister of National Security coming to the defense of the Minister of Housing, a man he should. He's a politician. It's his job to protect his fellow politicians. Why? I'm mad at him, you know. But the point is, he has under his jurisdiction police and defense force officer. And if there's a police force officer who's out there saying, man, he get hit, surely he needs to go there and say, let me go check this out. Then we have the Prime Minister saying that it was no investigation, it was inquiry. I don't know what an inquiry is. I don't even know what a police investigation is. But I know the cops say there's no police investigation happening on it. Right? To this day, I don't know who the police is.
And then the Minister of National Security said there's a video that he has seen, but that the police gave him. I said, boss, how can the police give you a video if there's no investigation? Stop it, man. Stop the madness. Why are you doing this to sensible Bahamians? Let's deal with this and just finish this and say, man, there's no case because we investigated this thoroughly. We saw the video. We interviewed the police officer. We interviewed the minister. And we have concluded that there's no case to answer. We interviewed the witness, the one who said he sees something, and the witness who said they ain't see something. And then we concluded. But instead, alas, they have us looking like crazy people. I don't know what to believe. I don't even know what the narrative is. I don't know if he get rolled over and trampled over a couple of times. I know if he just get tapped with the car. I know if he did get real injury. But I know the guy from the Police Staff Association said, man, the police got a lawyer. What do you mean he got a lawyer? He decided to get a lawyer because his feelings, his emotions, his trauma was dismissed and continues to be dismissed by those who are in charge of him. They don't care. They don't care about his person. That's why there ain't no investigation. That's why you hear the Police Staff Association, man, he gonna get a lawyer, man, he gotta deal with that himself. Because nobody gonna check on him while he in the hospital. Yeah, it is what it is. It ain't important. But I see I get a call already. But Patrick, call him, man. Let me see if you want to talk about that as they go and talk about other things I want to talk about. Go ahead, call him.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning to you.
That's it. I'm on the same road as you because I'm concerned. If the officer went to the hospital, was there a reported injury?
The doctor gave all kind of write up on it, but no one paying attention. That they even dismissing the doctor. That's how bad this is. They said the doctor ain't important. He's crazy.
So I'm trying to see, like you said, you believe the minister. I don't.
No, miss, as a minister, no. You can't be challenging no minister in the Honorable House. Listen, while she's inside that
in
Honorable... Stop it.
In my view, in that uniform, the policeman has the same honor. I give her no more honor than I give him.
No, miss, you're wrong. Stop it.
You think so?
I didn't tell you wrong. I said it twice. You didn't hear me say it twice? That's
okay.
An honorable minister. Yes, you need to change your stand because that's an honorable minister. And
okay,
she says she ain't hit nobody. And that's where I stand, and I'm moving from there. Let the commissioner of police deal with his. See, this is what I look, miss. If the police officer is lying, what you think should happen to him? If he's lying, let's go with that scenario. If he's lying, what do you think should happen to him? He lying on a minister, no? What do you think should happen to him?
All of them, the commissioner of police knows the truth.
No, you won't hear my question, miss.
What'd you say?
If the police officer is lying on our minister, right?
Mm-hmm.
What should happen to him? I didn't tell you I believe the minister. But if the police officer is lying on the minister, what should happen to him?
Then he should be sued, be held liable, and everything else that comes with that, because then he's not honorable.
You see how tragic this is?
He's being vindictive.
You see how tragic this is? This ain't no small case, no. And guess what the commissioner of police said? He has transferred this case to the police corruption unit. And I said, what? He transferred it where? To the police corruption unit.
Can I give you my personal view on it?
Once you don't get me fired on my good show, you could give...
You're the best.
I know that, but they ain't know that yet. You know, I start note, but they ain't know it yet. But soon they find out, and they're like, pay increasing thing. Go ahead.
You're the last in, then you're going to be last out. Yeah,
there you go. Speak it on me.
Listen, but I truly feel like somehow the reason why we are not hearing personally from this police or his lawyer, I have a strong feeling. I listened to the police officer who was on the show yesterday talking him and the Defense Force guy.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they're being strong now. I'm sorry.
You can't strong arm
the
police.
Yes, you can. Because if you listen to those guys, they are no longer on the force and they're being told, what do you think you're doing?
Mm.
You understand? If strong arming with each other is something that they do in there, and somehow the officer himself isn't saying much about it.
Keep quiet.
But I don't think the doctors can lie for him.
You don't think the doctors can lie?
On the minister, then that means the doctor also lie on the minister. So there's a whole line of people lying on the minister.
Some people need to get fired. And I don't think the commissioner of police is taking this seriously. It's a charge laid on his face, on his feet, to his
but
feet.
The thing is, Roll said on his way out that there's an investigation.
Okay.
So how is everybody else saying there's no investigation, there's only an inquiry? Isn't an inquiry, I think, an investigation?
No. These lawyers, they use words purposefully. Use these words to make sure they don't get in trouble. So if it's an inquiry, they ask somebody. They could ask one person.
If it turned out that the minister has defrauded or somehow, I wouldn't say lie.
Lie is a harsh word. That defrauded word is a harsh word because I didn't tell you the minister innocent and you need to stop it. She misled nobody.
If it turns out that that's what happened, then what we think should happen in that situation, because if she misled him, then her counterpart who's standing up for her misled him, then the prime minister misled, and so everybody would be misled by these persons who are there to be our honorable people.
Miss, I like you. I didn't say the minister innocent. It's the commissioner of police we're dealing with.
I can speak Bahamianese now. All of them.
We
need to face that if this turned out to be. But I don't think we can get to the bottom of this because there's a lot of settlements going on right now.
So I like settlements.
All we know secretly is this fighting already been settled.
And nothing wrong with being settled, you know. And it's clear.
And
perhaps
wrong.
this witness who came out.
If you settled, then you have to have settled because you've done something.
No, that ain't true. That ain't true.
Yeah.
No, man.
Yeah, man.
Sometimes I pay out people all the time. So I won't deal with you no more. Here, take that $5. That's just me. Because I just know when things cause problems. This one crazy. Let me, take that. I enjoy talking to you, man. I see you when I come back on tomorrow. Take
all
care.
Right.
I have another people in, man. Today is Open Line Thursday. We have a provocative conversation day. You know? Lively and provocative at 11 o'clock. Lord have mercy. This is Seasonary Live. Go ahead, caller. I can hear you in the background.
How are you today, Mr. Nuri?
I am always blessed, though.
That's good.
Highly
did
favored.
You heard exactly what the former COP said before he retired?
You tell me. Remind me.
The former COP said that there is an investigation going on, right?
Okay, go ahead.
But he also said that he's yet to have received any report from the officer.
No
that,
complaint,
there's an official complaint has been made. So why would the officer go to the doctor, obtain a lawyer, and don't make an official complaint?
Can you imagine?
Does that make any mathematical or sense to you, sir?
In fact, they ain't even talked to the officer yet. So it's an investigation without talking to the complaint.
I think the onus is on the officer to report if he has a problem. Why didn't he report that to his superior that was on the scene?
Okay,
call him. Let
me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question.
Sir?
It's five videos, but one showing that. Never mind. I ain't say that.
Go ahead.
The officer is out on sick leave, or was out on sick leave.
Uh-huh.
Are you trying to say that if this officer is lying, right? Then that's why I said maybe the officer lied. If he's off, he's lying, you know he can get fired soon. But anyway, that's beyond the point. If the officer is lying, why take his sick slip? You can't go to the doctor and turn in sick slip to stay home. What kind of ring dig police force we have? What you're trying
I'm
to suggest,
but I'm not saying that the officer's lying about the sick slip, but he might be sick for something else.
I didn't tell you what he say he's sick for. I didn't tell you what he say he's sick for. He say he get tapped.
But he's an officer, but he didn't go in and make a official complaint. He knows that's the first thing you have to do.
He hired a lawyer. At this present time, if it was you, okay, let's make a scenario closer to you.
Mm-hmm.
You in charge of a staff member.
Yes, sir.
Right? I can say you have a little small restaurant. And you hear that your staff member slip and fall and break his leg. He went to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He didn't come and formally call you and say, but I fall down and break my leg, but I'm out sick for 6-7 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You, as the owner, manager, what do you do? This scenario. Stick to the scenario there, by the way.
I'm sticking to this scenario.
Go ahead. What do you do?
What do I do?
Yeah.
Yes, I will go in and make inquiries about...
What do you mean, make inquiries? What do you mean by that? You're using these big words.
I'm speaking about the officer.
No, don't. She's gone again. You just be dead.
No,
say we can stick into my scenario.
Point. I'm going, I, I as the person in charge
of the restaurant,
establishment, yes. I would have gone and looked for my employee and find out what.
You saying that you was going to go? Hold on, you saying you was going to go to the hospital and check on him? Why?
If the statement was correct.
Hold on. I just go down the road. You are saying you was going to check on your staff member?
If he was in the hospital, if he was admitted to hospital.
Now, he's admitted to hospital, and he came out of hospital, but he's home now. You saying that you're going to check on your staff member?
Mr. Nuri.
I just ask you to know. Don't be changing my
narrative. I understand what you're saying.
I just said yes or no.
You tell me that particular person passed a police station to go to the hospital, didn't make an official complaint, but yet he could have contacted a lawyer and the staff association without contacting the commissioner of police?
You know, we talk about this restaurant thing, you know, and then you start talking about restaurants. I'm in a restaurant business. I'm in a restaurant business. So, I want to talk about a scenario
staff,
I know about.
The staff at the restaurant,
okay,
right, passed the owner's office and gone straight to the hospital and didn't even knock on the owner's door.
Okay, my point is, you as the owner of the restaurant, your staff is out. Mm-hmm. He has a sick slip, say 2-3 days. Mm-hmm. And he claiming he fall down on your job. What do you do? Just stick to the scenario, and I want to know what you do.
The point you was making to me, if I would go see the staff, if he fallen on his job, not as far as just sending a sick slip. No, that's totally different.
But when we know. Okay, I just want to know if you're going to see him, if you're going to check on him, call him on the phone.
Not in that situation.
You don't call him on the phone to say, you okay?
Sir.
You don't call him.
Respect.
I won't work for you, buddy.
You won't work with me because the truth is the truth, man.
Let's get to the nitty-gritty. I would form a union on you. I would form a union and have a strike. You don't work that restaurant by yourself. You don't work that on a holiday. I was going to make sure I form that strike on a holiday and make sure you work that by yourself because you ain't like a staff member, man.
Mr. Drew, use too much, man.
Sometimes.
Have a nice day,
man. I enjoy talking to you, man. Call back. Tomorrow I can have fun, too. I have another phone call. Let pass them through, man. How you doing today?
Good morning, Mr. Drew.
It's an open line Thursday.
Yes, you are.
Go ahead, man. What you have on your mind?
You're going to be swinging the argument towards the same topic.
No.
But anyway, are we still a Christian nation?
We was a Christian nation before?
I don't know. Won't we develop on Christian morals?
Okay. Let's have a conversation. You know, you like talk long. So You're done? Believe me. I won't have a conversation. You just said let's have a conversation. Then you start over talking to me already, man.
Okay. Go.
Do you like Christians, or you have something against them? Just yes
I
or no.
I have nothing against Christians.
So if I am a
Christian, I have a greater love for God, though.
If I am a Christian, are you think it's nice for you to bully me every time you have a chance?
Oh, the Christian nation?
No, I ask you if you think it's right for you to be. I mean, ask specific questions, man. I'll engage you. You're my friend.
No, I don't think it's right.
Christian, buddy, and I said, man, you have your non-Christian views over there. And you have the audacity that you come and poke me. Shall I be friends with you anymore?
If you're a Christian.
So you believe...
You're supposed to know the word love and forgiveness.
It says forgive you all the time, you know?
Hey, 70 times 7?
70 times 7, see?
That's what the man says.
I is that old-time Christian people. You poke me eye, I poke you 2 eyes out, so you don't come and bother me no more. But I'm just saying that every time you call about Christianity, right? You always cutting the pie.
No, you don't like Christians. You emphasize it every time, like that's the only thing Sparky's ever talked about.
I used to talk about Christians.
Now you know you exaggerate not that topic.
It wasn't me who started talking about Christians.
I
called to
ask you this because this morning, although it's open line, all we've been hearing about who lying, who telling untruths, and this and that and that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was saying is. I wonder sometime if these talk shows be getting to the right people. Because I believe that the people that take part, that communicate with you on the talk show host, are people that are genuinely concerned about the love of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Yes.
That's why they take time to text in, to call in, to voice their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if the talk shows are getting to the people that we are talking about that is causing the problem in our country.
Mm-hmm.
For example, when I ask the question about why white people don't take part in the celebrations we do.
Let's pause. I want to ask you a question here. You like white people?
I love white people.
I know you partially white. You light skin. I mean,
I'm white.
But
your nose broad. I mean, your nose broad. Yeah, but I know your nose broad.
You mulatto. Let me ask you this question. When I watched Chowkado the other day, Independence Morning, and I see police with a gun on the side of him, running from a fight that he tried to stop. And when he turned the corner and he break off running because apparently he was injured. And all I see around is a bunch of young Bahamian black men and women helping the fight, throwing bottles and everything. And I see two other policemen on the corner of Frederick Street. When they see one policeman running up the road, the other two with that gun on, they start running too. And this are Christian nations who I see. Why the white people don't want to take part in our foolishness no more? Because anytime we try to help them organize, a fight could break out in the middle of Bay Street. We can't even conduct a national celebration called Independence Rush no more. On Boxing Day no more, because a fight could break out.
Sparky, you know you just identify yourself as being white or off-white or beige or mulatto, right?
I
kind of get defensive when people of a particular hue start bashing black people, right? I mean, I know you don't mean nothing by it.
I am dingy.
Yeah, but I agree by your narrative.
I mix. I'm a Kong Solid and I'm part of the Kong Solid.
My point is, you can't be bashing black people like that. You give us some ideas on how we can improve ourselves, right? But you can't be bashing us. You give us an inferiority complex.
We talk with very descent from and everything.
So I just say
one side of my name is called Fountain, which is French. On the next side of my name is called Dupuy, which is French. Now, I don't know if my people came from France, New Orleans, New York, or Haiti. So I mix right up, because ain't nobody tell me where we come from.
I understand. And I appreciate you there, my dear friend. And that's why I like engaging you, because you give a different viewpoint all the time. I see I have another thing I want to talk about. I want to talk about NIB. What has happened at NIB? I'm concerned about this Minister of State, Mr. LaRota, his continuous saying that there's a crisis at NIB. It can't be no crisis. The Prime Minister didn't speak. So I believe that the Minister needs to pause and don't bring up NIB no more, right? Because if it was an issue, our Prime Minister would have dealt with it. And the idea that he constantly nudge and say it's a crisis, we need to change things, again, a little disconcerting now. You know, I don't like it. I don't like the narrative. Either doing good or doing bad, but it can't be two different narratives we hear it. The Prime Minister, say, tarry a bit. Is that another caller? Yeah, put that caller through. I can look at these texts and see which one I can read. Go ahead, caller.
Hello, good afternoon.
How are you doing?
I'm okay, Mr. Nuri.
It's an open line today. You can talk with all your mind.
I just want to speak on the subject of the police officer, okay?
You was there?
I want to pick, pardon me?
I was just checking to see if you was one of the witnesses. Go ahead.
Still there. You could hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Good.
Okay, I want to just piggyback on the last, not the caller before Sparky, that he said that. Why didn't the officer make an official complaint? The officer had to make an official complaint in order for the commissioner of police to have gotten involved, in order for the staff officer to have gotten involved. Okay?
Look at you!
And the fact that look he at made you. A complaint, it was forward to the complaint and corrupt unit.
Look okay? at you! Look at you!
Pardon me?
I'm just impressed by you. I mean, listen. Go ahead.
No, what do you mean? Look at me. Listen here. We need to get to a point in this country where we have to stop being so politically screwed. Okay? Some of us so political until I wonder if that was a brother or a nephew or a son of his. If he's old enough to be. But that's a police officer. You don't think he know how to go through the ring? You don't think he knows what it is?
One would assume.
He's supposed to take in, pardon me?
One would assume so.
Okay, so what do you mean? He made the first thing he would. Why didn't he go to visa? Report it. He went to the hospital. If you're injured, where the first place you go in?
Someone would say you got to stop to the commissioner offices to ask permission.
No,
to go to
you have to seek medical help. If you're injured, you go into the doctor, right?
I would assume so.
And then if you feel like you're if you were taken advantage of or your rights was being infringed, where else you going to do? Seek a lawyer, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So that's exactly what he did. He just need to get to the point to realize there's no one above the law and stop this political foolishness, man. PA knew it. Let me come off the topic for a while.
Go ahead.
You know, if we were to take these contracts, you know, these things, contract roadside and parks and all these foolishness, every month payment,
mm-hmm.
the person self-employed can become entrepreneur through the government for 5 years or some to a year.
Mm-hmm.
If we take these things back,
mm-hmm.
you think people would be so politically screwed? What do you think?
I say to take some things back. But it changes every 5 years, though. It changes every 5 years.
Yeah, but I mean, we got to stop. Where are we as behaving in this country?
Mm.
Where?
Mm.
That's why I don't accuse me of nothing. Because when they're asking them in, I have a problem like a talk. The PLP in, I got to have a problem like a talk. Okay?
Bahamians don't like that. You got to choose pick a side. You got to pick a side, ma'am.
I'm not going to pick no side. I'm a Bahamian. That's my side.
Lord.
Huh?
I listen.
You have a side, eh?
No, never. I don't have no side.
Why you want me to have a side?
Because I want to make sure you get your money. You see,
get what money from whom?
Whatever side you choose.
I don't want to choose a side.
That's why you don't get no money. You can stay broke.
What is just to me? Because I am a born Bahamian.
You can stay broke then.
Pardon me?
You can stay broke then.
Stay broke? No way. Long as I get health and strength.
Praise God.
I'm a self-employed. I'm not going to stay broke. Mm. Okay?
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
So we need to stop, get to a point, and be Bahamian man. Mm-hmm. And the staff, let me say something again under the sound of my voice, because mm-hmm. they may be listening.
He's listening.
Staff officer, I used to be a shop steward years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And if I have to go to the CEO or the hotel or wherever, as high as I can,
mm-hmm.
to get right for my persons, my whoever working with me
mm-hmm.
as a shop steward,
mm-hmm.
if I have to go wherever I need to the owner of the hotel, to the tribunal, to wherever, I'm going to get the right citizens, okay?
Amen.
They're too silent. They came out once and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
They are the person who's supposed to be speaking on his behalf and whatever lawyer he hire, but the staff officer should. No one is above the law. What if his leg has been broken or he has been dead? This is the conversation we've been having in the media, where it happened or it didn't happen. Why even go to that extent if nothing happened? Tell me.
I agree.
For what reason? Hmm?
Thank you very much for calling.
That's
I appreciate your insight, man. You just open my eyes up. I see another thing in the news is Mr. Dorsett alleges that he lost $4.16 million after this court case. You know, I said, dang, that's a lot of money. And, you know, we settle. So, you know, any minute, they plan to help him out, you know. But anyway, I see the music playing, you know. I have one call on the line. Don't go no place. I can let you call right now. But I'm going to read this text. Hey, Mr. Nuri, did you hear anything about the legalization of marijuana? Because many young Bahamian men are still being made and considered criminals for wanting to possess and benefit from the many uses of the plant that God created for us all. Let me know, please. Okay? And we'll be right back on the next side of this break. This is Guardian Radio Live. I'm C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.
Always on the go? Miss the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and time all day.
Sign your basketball teams up today for the Michael Scooter Reed Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic, August 1st through the 7th at the Hope Center. Get ready for the pastors versus politicians, along with the Phil Lightburn Slam Dunk Contest, then Energy 3-Point Shootout, along with all championship games, live in living color at the Kendall G. Eliza Gymnasium, Sunday, August 7th, beginning at 5 p.m. That's the Michael Scooter Reed Peace on the Street Basketball Classic. For more information, contact 601-484-2.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Again, this is C.A. Nuri, and we have an open line Thursday. And I see if I call it there. I know he's waiting there. So let them patch through so they can say what they have to say. Hi, welcome to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri.
Morning, Mr.
I'm always good. Bless, man.
I have a question. Did the Frank Smith case, did he file a lawsuit as yet?
I think he's being settled already.
I hope he doesn't settle. That's one case, one lawsuit I want to come forward. So people can really, really appreciate what political interference really is.
And mind you, a number of persons want to see these trials adjudicated so we can understand what went wrong. But I think that as a government position, before the prior administration, people used to make fun that that attorney general never win a case at all. And no, this attorney general, he ain't planned to lose none. He ain't gonna have that on his record.
Yeah, but this is off the record. But that particular case, man, the magistrate stated on record of two sitting cabinet ministers involvement in that case. And now we have, fast forward, we have one of them is every day making the airwaves, doing a tour on this particular, and supposedly, I don't know if it's an investigation or non-investigation with the Minister of Transport. Okay, and then they're accusing the chairman of the, Mr. Mitchell, and the National Security Minister, who answers questions put to him in reference to the case, right? He's the Minister of National Security. The former Commissioner of Police said what he said. He's gone now. I have yet to hear what the new Commissioner of Police is saying or what's going on in reference to that case. But you have persons on both sides stating how they feel. Everyone is speaking and trying to push their side of the whatever agenda it is, skewed in that way. Everyone is speaking except the alleged victim.
So long and short, because I see you're going through the whole case.
I was just responding to what you and the callers were saying.
So long and short, you want this case to be adjudicated. You don't want
The Frank Smith case, I want that. But no, I want the evidence. I want it to be investigated.
Yes.
And the truth to come on the videotapes, because they had someone on Facebook.
I with you. And that's what I can lobby. I can lobby no settlement for Frank Smith. We want to go through the trial.
I want the trial so these people could be reminded
Of
what true political interference in court cases really is.
So that's, thank you. That's the stance. No settlement for him. We're going through the entire case. And I see Mr. Wayne Monroe said it would be unwise for government to disclose settlement sums. And I sat there, right, and said, what? And let me read again. It would be unwise for the government to disclose any settlement sums. 2 years ago, the same minister came in the newspaper, go check it, 2 years ago, 2018, he said, it's important, I have the link here. He said, it's for democracy's sake, it's for making sure of accountability, that all settlements must be disclosed because it hints of corruption. And 2 years later, he just changed his mind. I can't listen to politicians, you know. They flip-floppy. They flip-flopping all over the place. 1 minute when they're in opposition, they have one stance, but when they get in that government, they're just a switch. They're a switch because, you know, it's expedient. And we can't have wishy-washy people leading us, you know. I get concerned. Let's get concerned because I love honorable men. I love honorable men, you know. Decent men who will say, this is my position, I'm going to carry this straight through. But just because you're party in power, you can't be switching. You know, it makes me wonder all the things that you say before when you was an advocate, whether it was tangible, real, believable or not. Now we realize that it's all about politics. But I have another caller there. Patrick, the caller there, true. Let me see what they want to talk about.
Yeah, go ahead, caller. Scenery.
Good morning. Blessings to you, man.
Yeah, but you give me a good laugh all the time, and you really got a good sense of humor. But I just wanted to chime in, not on the political paradigm, but the thing is, just talk about the carbon credits, right? And this in China, China's a communist country, but it's one thing I like about them is that they actually, in the carbon credits paradigm, they give people who ride bicycles, catch the ferry, and refrain from using the automobiles a check. Mm-hmm. So I'm not hearing that from the Western paradigm in the Western world, all right? So that will encourage people because we talk in this carbon credits, but no one is willing to just use their bicycle to slow down the carbon output. Since this is how I know this is, and then the other richer countries pay you to use their carbon, I mean, to burn carbon and say, look at me going in space, look at me burning my big, whatever it is, right? It's the paradigm. But what I'm saying is also, I just call to remind you that this lay and, the terminology you use, you said lay and commoners and uncommoners, just to remind you that that's a human construct. To all those people who up there, when they lay down and die, tell God they was a commoner or uncommoner and see what make a difference when they lie down and suffer. And have a good day.
Amen. I hear you. Nuriman, this is the next text. NIB need to make sure my money there when I claim my pension in the next decade or so. The PM need to get on the same page as LaRota and be real with the people. I see the ILO, the International Labor Organization, in their amendment report on NIB sovereignty and sustainability, is saying that perhaps people who are on pension now need to give up their big pension in order to save NIB for the future generation. It's so bad, we need to stop getting all this big money. I mean, NIB don't give you big money, but they said bad enough that we need to stop getting the $300 and get $150, cut in half, in order to save NIB. But it ain't urgent. If it was urgent, our PM was going to be addressing it. But it's ain't urgent. This big talk and idle talk that NIB going through hardship, it can't be true. It can't be true. It's two different narratives, and I got to choose to believe one, and I, for one, will believe the Prime Minister first. Anyway, I see you have another call there. Patch that caller through for me, please. Thank you for holding, man.
Sure. Good morning. Me again.
Oh, thank you for calling back, I guess.
Listen, on the part of these settlements, they are really confusing to me. You know? I don't know if I'm just that slow. Maybe I'm slow. But they seem to be settling everything. This, what's his name? Mr. Pinder, Ryan Pinder.
So that's my boy. That's easy.
Yeah.
Easy. I see.
He's an honorable man.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yes. I know he was going with that.
Okay.
but he seemed to be settling everything. How do we know if these cases went through that these persons would have come out with the same ending? How do we know that?
The good gentleman have autonomy, and he decides on whether it's a good case or not, and they decide that they ain't going through it, and that.
Because I feel like all the persons who are on the same train as him seem to be getting these cases settled so fast and easy without us knowing.
I like how you say that, ma'am. You got to rephrase that. Sound and seem like some kind of biasness is not there.
I'm a biased person.
I listen to you. I'd be analyzing your words.
I'm just concerned because, that, in all fairness, that is the view that is coming out. Like, you had a case that you went in against the government with, and however, now that the new government is in, that you happen to be a part of, settles with you so easily, rather than saying, you know what, let's allow the case, like Shane Gibson case, that went through. And we saw where he deserved what he got. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So allow it to go through and allow the information to come forward so the jury or the judge can say fairly, okay, yes, this is what you deserve.
But I think the AG office is trying to save us some money. To go and pay all these people and realize we can be losing all kind of money, I think that's one of the issues.
But how do we know that we would be losing all kind of money? How would we know that they won't come out on the losing end and have to pay back?
Then the Bahamian people need to talk. They need to speak out loud and let him know that, hey, we want this case to go through. We ain't selling nothing no more. We want all to go to court. And if we got to pay twice as much, we cool with it once it goes through. So that's what it is. But I appreciate your call, man. I see you have another caller there. Go ahead, caller. Thank you for holding. Hi, how you doing? I can hear you.
Hello.
Oh, go ahead. Loud and clear.
How you doing? Let me ask you something, Mr. Nuri.
Go ahead. Ask me something.
Is Ryan Pinder a good lawyer?
Hey. Don't you be trying to question my friend. I know he's a competent lawyer and he's a good lawyer. That's why he's trying. Where are you going with this? I don't know where you're going with it, but I don't like it already.
Sometimes you got to listen to now.
I can listen, but I can see. I can see where you're going.
Something. What was his profession as a lawyer?
I don't like this conversation. I don't like it because it's not called for. You're questioning his competency, and the man is an educated man, and the man has proven himself, and to suggest, and producer, I don't like this conversation. You can put him on hold. We go to the next, move to the next person. But try to question the attorney general and his competency, the audacity. Anyway, I want to know. Do taxpayers have the right to know the settlement of what's being negotiated, what government has settled? And there are some people say no. I mean, the Minister of National Security said no. The Bahamians don't have the right. They don't have the right to know how much money it is. If it's 1 million, 2 million, 5 million more, we just don't have the right. They seem like it's our money. It's their money to spend. And if they say they ain't going to tell us, that's it. You know, I want to know if we have a right to know. You know, and if we do have a right to know, how do we say, man, no, stop it. What you're doing is wrong. Stop it. But I have another caller there. Go ahead, caller. Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Neri, how you doing?
I'm always good, man. Blessings to you.
I think he was wrong for cutting our caller just from now. He was only asking a question. He wasn't making a suggestion. And I think this is a show of transparency. And he's just asking a question. This is a democratic society we live in. Uh-huh. And you should have hear him out.
You think so?
You was wrong for cutting him just now.
I'll yield. He could call back, but I don't like. See, I like Ryan Pinto. I believe he's the most competent attorney general we ever had inside the Commonwealth of Bahamas. And then when people start questioning that, I just get defensive, and I apologize. I'm a big man. I can apologize. You still can't question Ryan Pinto competency. You just have to work around that. We can engage, but I guess he ain't gonna entertain that question of his competency. I ain't gonna entertain it, but you can call back. So I don't want to be wrong, and I admit that I cut you too soon. So I apologize. But go ahead. I have a next caller there. Patch that caller through. Let me see what he's going to talk about. Go ahead, caller. Thank you for calling. Guardian Radio in the morning. This is C.A. Neri.
Hello, Neri.
Hey, this is Neri.
Good day, comrade.
Blessings to you.
Listen, I don't understand why we're debating or asking the question, should whatever settlements be revealed. Whose money is that?
Well, once upon a time, I thought it was my money, but apparently the National Security Minister said no.
Unless it's coming out of the National Security, Mr. Wayne Monroe's pocket, personal pocket.
I know. He doesn't talk, though.
Every penny, if that's the reason why we have the Federal Register to the audit, every penny of the Bahamian taxpayers' money should be accounted for.
It's accounted. We know how much. You don't know what it is, but they know.
I need to know.
You just nosy.
I need to know. You can't be spending my money, Mr. Neri. I got $1,000 and I'm spending my money, and every time I go in, there's something going on, and she ain't giving an account as to where the money going. That ain't our money, or that's not his money. So I don't know why we're debating that. And the thing about it is, with being one of them as astute and as learned as that man, supposed to be some of the things with his company mouth, they need to stop and think before they speak. Because it's really disheartening to know that he's almost cussed us now. He's the Minister of National Security, and they're the kind of things we're coming out of his mouth. And come on, man, and this ain't the first time. You understand me? This is not the first time. My goodness, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Pray. All he goes, fast and pray. That's the only thing we can have a better Bahamas. You need to fast and pray. And I see the Prime Minister says that there's still no final decision on recreational marijuana use. I know what that means. That means you ain't gonna be able to smoke weed no time soon. You can get locked up. Just don't do it. He said they're gonna make sure that Bahamians are empowered with medical marijuana. That's the only option that is gonna be levied to Bahamian people. So if you're growing weed to sell to the hospital, you have a chance. But other than that, you ain't gonna smoke nothing. That idle talk about smoking weed ain't gonna happen. In fact, the board that was investigating the possibility of the use of marijuana said they ain't entertaining the recreational weed anyway. They didn't say it's a miracle marijuana thing. So what you need to do is try to get papers. And if you can't get no papers to get a farm, you need to save your $200-$300 to invest in someone else's farm, whoever this government plan to give that big contract to. That's the only options you have. But I see you have another caller there. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, Mr. Neri, C. Allen Johnson.
Go ahead, C. Allen Johnson.
Yeah, I got a task for you. You know, as the Prime Minister talk about the blue economy, green economy, carbon credits, and all of these different type of things, and he just gave his national development speech, it's been 9 months based on the 13th of June, which is 40 weeks, actually. You know, you give birth at that amount of time. And so we're approaching almost very close to the one-year anniversary. I was wondering if it's possible, if you know of, or the published strategy, published policy steps that is needed to be taken for this individuals, this 50% of the population that is unemployed or underemployed, to be able to engage this green, blue, ocean, orange economy, digital economy that the Prime Minister talks about. Because, you know, there's something called an ecosystem that has to be built. And the ecosystem basically supports multiple forms of aviations, of the variations of what is to be done. But I can't seem to, in my data skills, can't seem to be able to find where this policy is, where the instructions is, where the strategy is, where the steps, goals, timelines, anything is, so that we can actually start rebuilding the economy.
And I like that pause. And I happen to have a number of cell phone numbers of a number of politicians. I just happen to be blessed like that. You have my number, C. Allen. Text me all your concerns. You got to be right out now. You got to put it in PDF because I know you's right long. Put in PDF all of your concerns to the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party, all your issues and concerns, what you need, and he'll get it to the Prime Minister and he'll deal with it. Is that a deal?
Okay.
You forwarded to me. I forwarded them. The answer will come out because I don't have the answer.
No, that's what I'm saying to you.
No. Don't need it. No need to belabor it.
I'm saying, while I'm looking for a job, I think you have the ability in New Providence to be able to go face-to-face and person-to-person. I think you have that type of influence that actually allows you to solve the problem. I mean, us in Grand Bahama, you know, most of us are looking for jobs or spending our time in
social services. You need to go visit the Ginger Moxie. Ginger Moxie can sort you out. She can sort you out.
Oh, that's right. She did write the blueprint, right? The blueprint for change.
Yes.
Thank you for jogging my memory.
Go to her office and tell her I send you. She know me too. And if you need her text number, WhatsApp me and I'll text you her number. I'll text you the number so you can...
Let me tell you why it's important for you to know this information. As a talk show host, one that pushes for national development as a nationalist, you having that information will allow you to also, on occasions, to pivot your show to insert the information for those listeners that allows them to actually begin the preparatory processes to actually become involved in rebuilding and rebooting the economy. Take in consideration, I remember the $13 billion on Grand Bahama and Abaco, and that doesn't count the infrastructural damages. That's the revenue that comes from the infrastructure. So, I think as a talk show host with the hour a day, congratulations again on your position. But this is a good time for you to throw your weight around with that mic, that bully pit that they give you, and actually push towards getting those 70% of young people that is unemployed into the market.
And I'll mention it again. I see I have another caller there. I have about 3 more minutes. So go ahead, caller. Caller, can you hear me? Caller, can you hear me there? Are you there? Okay. I see that in the national plan that the PLP is, the government is pushing forward, and the plan 7.7 of the plan, they was trying to, at least inside the Prime Minister's report, which caused some kind of chaos for a brief moment, that they're saying that they're going to enact in law some anti-discrimination law that will protect vulnerable people, persons like, I wrote this down, but I can't understand my own handwriting. Persons like age discrimination, discrimination about sex, discrimination about where they origin. The music playing 2 minutes before. Discrimination, the discrimination against people. And there was a LGBT activist who said that they weren't not represented in that list and that they are concerned that there should be some laws that will definitely identify that it should be against the law written in law that they should be discriminated against, or that they should not be discriminated against, right? And of course, it caused some ruckus within the forum. But I understand his concern. As the world moves forward and include vulnerable people, LGBT people are vulnerable people. But he made a point that despite them being vulnerable, that they are able to obtain jobs in within government. But he would like to see that government put in law to protect them in general. And I think that there should be a debate. There should be a debate. And so we could discuss that, whether his belief is something factual or something fanciful in his own mind. But anyway, this has been Guardian Radio in the AM. My name is C.A. Nuri. I definitely enjoyed myself today. Have a wonderful day.